At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my
Welcome
chest,
into the show. Hopefully this goes in a smoother fashion than the morning. I mean, at the end of the day, everyone was there by the time the show closed. We just had some issues. You guys heard them. We do have a change in the lineup, at least for today. Joe's here with me again. Joe, you know him from hosting Gallant and George. He will fill in from time to time, depending on what the issue is, or maybe just someone has a day off. He's filling in for Sean today. So Joe is here. We'll get to some Astro stuff with him because he's got an Astro-centric podcast he does with Jeremy. So we'll talk about what may be topics of conversation this week as the week is just getting started. And, of course, we'll talk about what happened last week on their podcast. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the Rockets closed out their regular season with a loss. They got beat down by the Nuggets. The Nuggets needed it. The Rockets didn't it. It's been that case for the Rockets for the last week or so, playing games that don't matter to them. But they did put out their guys. For the first time in a little bit, they played their starters. I mean, Jalen continues to play because the 82-game regular season that he wants to accomplish, which he did yesterday. But the other guys are out there, and the Nuggets were focused. This was a team who wanted to avoid the play-in at all costs, and they got that done. They decimated the Rockets. It was a game that was over in three quarters. They had a lead after one. The Rockets played them even in the second, but they came out the big third quarter. Russell Westbrook had a nice game. Jokic was good. Jamal Murray didn't shoot the ball well, but he was like the only one. Michael Porter Jr. had a stretch where he took over a little bit too. So the Rockets go down. It just speaks to a team who was out there. They won't say they're going through the motions, but no way they're going to match the level of intensity of that Nuggets team. And it played out that way. One team needed it. Another team was out there for calisthenics. And it played out with the Nuggets' resounding win. So they avoid the play-in. They're the fourth seed. They'll play the Clippers, and they will play the Clippers because the Warriors dropped a game at home, got to have a game to the Clippers. The Clippers who had to win eight in a row to avoid the play-in. That's how strong the West is. Clippers playing great basketball. Kawhi on it because he's healthy for now. And I say for now, not that I'm wishing injury on him. It's just how it goes. And James Harden playing really well. And Zubac, who is quietly one of the better centers in basketball. He had his way with the Warriors team who'd prefer to play small. Kawhi got going, and then James kind of took over in the overtime period. And that's all while Steph, playing with an injured shooting hand, shot the ball well, much more so than he did against the Rockets a couple Sundays ago now. It wasn't enough. So it's now Warriors or Grizzlies for the Rockets. And as well as they played Steph in their most recent matchup, if you want to give me Ja Morant in here with the Jaren Jacksons of the world and Desmond Bane, an uber-talented team, supremely talented team, probably should be better than they are as far as seeding, and I say that. They did win 48 games. A lot of teams winning 50 games or more in the West. I'm taking the Grizzlies. The only thing I would push back on myself for that idea is, do I want the old Warriors having to play high-intensity basketball every other day? Or do I want a younger Grizzlies team who's a little off-kilter and I'm not sure what I'm going to get for them? That's the debate I'm having in my head as far as I'm looking at the Rockets and what's an advantageous series for them. Because am I worried about veteran know-how? Am I worried about the Warriors just knowing all the tricks? Or do I think if this goes six, seven games, making it a long series, that the Warriors can't hold up? That's a team who had to go for the better part of 2 months to get in a position to just wind up in the play-in anyway. they played great basketball for 2 months since the Butler trade, and yet still in the play-in, partly thanks to one of their old friends, Harrison Barnes, when he knocked down a buzzer-beating three for the Spurs. So, Joe?
Steph Curry never won a play-in game before.
He is 0 for 3, right?
Yep, 0 for 3.
So, it's not a guarantee we'll see Steph Curry.
But he looked tired.
He was tired.
He looks tired.
And this is the thing, man. Jimmy Butler was brought in to lessen some of the load, and for the better part of 2.5 quarters, maybe give him 3 full quarters, he was good. He wound up with 30 points. But he was very quiet. Very quiet in the fourth quarter and overtime. And now he's dealing with a thigh injury. He got kneed by Kawhi in challenging a shot late in that game. So there's some questions about his availability. He says he's fine. But those old bones, man, playing that type of intensity in overtime game, then you got to play on Tuesday. To not really save your season, you'd have another game. But to avoid dropping to the eighth seed, I don't think they were planning on Steph Curry being exhausted in game 82 when they acquired Jimmy Butler. He was supposed to lessen the load, but when it mattered most, it was Jimmy being a decoy, setting screens. He did have one nice layup on a out-of-bounds play. But for the most part, it was Steph or it was nothing.
Yeah, something about, though, for me, the ending like the James Harden chapter era of basketball and getting all those demons out of your system with being able to take down the Warriors in the first round of the playoffs, like there's something that would be satisfying about that. Like all the times the Warriors and Rockets have battled in the playoffs and have been a problem, like this new Rockets team, if they can take down Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler and Steve Kerr in the playoffs, like there would something be very satisfying about that. And honestly, and the Grizzlies, like, I'm with you, like, I don't know what to expect. Like, I don't know if we're going to see a change in their rotation at all. I mean, I know we've seen a change in celebrations. You know, we've dropped guns for grenades.
I mean, hey, if you need to work around the rules, just but you want to fire off some form of ammunition, go ahead, Doc.
It's so funny. I love that he's just like, well, yeah, they said I can't use a gun, but they never said I couldn't throw a grenade.
He said he's going to keep doing it until it becomes a problem. So until the NBA says, hey, cut it out, he's going to keep doing it.
So does it not become a problem until he throws a grenade in real life?
I don't know what they're thinking, why some things are okay, because it's why people, hey, how come Austin Reeves can do it and why can't Ja? Well, the reason is Ja has the pass that he does, and
yeah.
Austin Reeves, other than screaming I'm him when he's mic'd up, no one knows a lot about Austin Reeves. So no one cares that Austin Reeves does it. I think that's another part of the equation. The NBA doesn't care. Ja does it. One of the guys that I think they like to have at the forefront of their push for the next great stars, the guys who are going to carry the league going forward, they would, hey, could you not do that? Be normal. Be normal. We'd love for you to be normal on the court. So the guns are a problem. He's not – if he throws a great – yes, if he throws a live grenade, I think they'll say, hey, cut it out with the celebration. He probably will have bigger issues if he happens to get his hands on a live grenade and throws it. But until it becomes a law-breaking offense, maybe
he's good to go.
Maybe he's good to go. And then, you know, maybe he's inspired by The Last of Us or a John Wick movie, Ballerina, and he gets a flamethrower. I don't know. I don't know what's next for him, but it appears that firepower is what he likes to use to celebrate.
Yeah, I just wonder how far away are we from, you know, the really over-the-top celebration. You know, remember the I'm sure you've seen this clip before. The minor league baseball coach who army crawled out to the mound and he grabbed the rosin bag and then literally threw it like a grenade. Like, how far are we from Ja Morant taking it to that level? Maybe a playoff series versus the Rockets would do something like that.
Look, if the man goes for 50 in a game two or something, all bets are off.
Just throws the basketball into the crowd like a grenade.
Well, whatever it takes. I mean, he does that in celebration. You don't want to pick up a big tech. But maybe at the end of a game, if he's lit up the Rockets and he's sealed the win with three, maybe he does that. But he is part of the potential Rockets equation in the playoffs, along with Steph and Jimmy. And, of course, it could be a Jaren Jackson. Who knows? Who knows who the Rockets will face? And that's part of the deal of finishing at the two seed. You have to wait a little bit. They'll have less time to prepare, but also the other team that they're playing will have less time to rest. So that's the benefit. We'll hear from Amen Thompson and Ime Udoka when we come back. Those two were asked about the playoffs, and it's good. The Rockets were watching the Warriors-Clippers game to see who might who they might face. That was part of the holdup because I think they were in there watching while Ime was supposed to be out talking to the media. So they waited for that, and then it happened, and now you know that you don't know. And that was going to be the case either way. You just now know the options for the teams. And it could be a Grizzlies team who you've had some competitive games against, but you've come out on the top end of the series this season, and a Warriors team who you finally broke the streak of losing up there. And then you had the home win where it looked bleak until some late moments went the Rockets' way. So the Rockets have beat the Warriors twice this year. So they've had some success. So we still got some time to figure that out. And maybe we don't see the Warriors at all, which may be what some people are hoping for. So we'll get to Ime and Amen when we come back. We'll talk some Astros. They take 2 out of 3. The Tucker trade package comes through. So Sean and I do, we're going to do every week a Tucker trade package tracker. Last week, favorite Tucker. This week, Tucker's still hitting. But when you get Wesneski and what he did, Paredes over the weekend, and then Cam Smith, it's leaning back the other direction. It's either fleeced or not fleeced. Those are the words that Sean uses. Last week, the Cubs fleeced. We'll see what happens this week. We'll talk about that later in the week. Okay, so Joe's with me till noon. And so if you want to get in, you can, 713-780-3776. A lot to get to. I guess I'll say this now because on Friday, I was proud that this was the only show on the station that didn't mention the Masters at all. I will mention it now because it might be the last time, unless, Joe, you have some thoughts. Rory McIlroy wins. Congratulations to him. I know it's a big deal for a lot of people. Couldn't care less.
Congrats on the ultimate choke job and then being able to recover.
Yeah, congratulations for winning.
Unreal.
Congratulations for pushing aside all the slander you would have caught if you didn't win. And maybe it's just me in individual sports. I don't care about the individual sports. Tennis, golf. If you ain't putting on the uniform and playing with the team, I'm not with it. I think that's the conclusion I came to. That's why baseball doesn't fit that category because there is a uniform that everyone wears. But even maybe just pitcher versus batter bothers me too. I don't know. That's why baseball, as far as the major sports, is behind football, basketball, and it's barely above hockey. Let's just say if we had a hockey team here, I may be siding with the
Dell number one fan.
Look, I'm not going. I'm not watching games at our great partner St. Arnold's, but I would watch. I just don't go out and watch games with people. But if you brought a hockey team here, maybe I buy a sweater.
Write this down.
Maybe I buy a sweater.
If we get a hockey team and we get the rights, Dell, pre and post game host.
Well, don't make me pull a Nico. You better cut the check. I don't have a dad like Nico Iamaliava. My dad wouldn't care. But I need a representative if I'm doing pre and post for 82 hockey games and then maybe a playoff series or two. We will see about that. Don't try to pull that 790 stuff with me. I know what you guys did over there.
That's brutal.
I know. Don't try to pull that with me. Appreciate the thought, though. Okay. As I said, you can get in if you want. We're just getting started here. We will be back. In a Rocket season that surprised me as far as how many wins. I didn't think they'd get to 50-plus. I just thought they needed an all-NBA player to do it. That's kind of how it went last year. They did have an all-star in Alperen, and maybe you just say the collective may be better than where the parts are now. I'm not saying what the parts might be a year or two from now, where they probably even at that point won't have reached their full potential, but the parts came together, the players, the coaches all came together to give you a 50-plus win team and with room to spare. They sat out guys and didn't play guys and still were a 50-plus win team. A really good year from them, and we'll see how that continues in the playoffs. A guy that likely wasn't looked at as someone who would be such a big contributor was Steven Adams. He was an afterthought, a trade that happened last year where the Rockets acquired him. And, people, why'd you get a guy who isn't even going to play? And, well, this is why, or at least partly why, beyond the double big stuff and how good they've been with Şengün, Steven Adams has the best offensive rebounding percentage in the NBA for a season. You may say, huh, that's an interesting stat to try to find. What does it mean historically? I don't know, but it just speaks to what Steven Adams has been for a team that lives, maybe not dies, but certainly lives off of second chance opportunities and getting on the boards. He helped the Rockets in that regard. And minimum of 500 minutes, he he has a 21.8 offensive rebound percentage. That is better than Andre Drummond. Whatever. Okay, it's Andre Drummond. But also better than prime Dennis Rodman. 94-95 Dennis Rodman. That's Spurs Dennis Rodman. And the best to do it as far as grabbing offensive rebounds percentage-wise in a season, Steven Adams. That's how big of a contributor he has been. And with the Warriors coming into town who like to play small, we saw what Steven Adams and Alperen did against them. The Grizzlies have one big that they're going to I don't want to forget Zach Edey. That's a lineup where you might see double bigs with Jaren Jackson being the stretch four. So there may be a reason to have double bigs more on the floor against the Grizz, unless you just want to impose your will on the Warriors and force them to play a way they don't want to play. So Steven Adams has become a big part of this team, and I think he's going to play a big part in these playoffs as long as health remains good for him. So credit to that acquisition for Rafael Stone. Didn't think much of it at the time, but now look at it.
No, it was very forward thinking. I think it'll be important. I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast on the way in today, and they were talking about how the Rockets don't have any playoff experience, and like that's one of the reasons why the Warriors should probably why they think the Warriors will win that series if it comes down to it. But when you think about the playoff experience they do have, you have Steven Adams, you have Dylan Brooks, you have Fred VanVleet, who's a champion. If Ime took his team to the finals, like they'll be able to pretty much do like they have enough guys that have championship or playoff experience, but I don't think that'll be an issue. And the double big stuff will be interesting because, you know, with the Warriors, like if it's not working, well, then they can just put Jabari at the five and they can go small. Like they have the flexibility to do whatever they want. Like whatever, if the other team's doing something effectively and their plan's not working, they can change it on the fly. So I feel pretty good about the Rockets coming out of at least the first round.
I'm interested for Ime and how he coaches because, yes, as you said, he took a team to a finals. But that was a young veteran team, and I say that because Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have been in playoff situations almost since they've been in the league. So when Ime got there, they had been through the disappointments of losing in the bubble or losing to LeBron in the conference finals when they were really young. And so they were ready to win, even though they were in their mid-20s, still even older than these Rockets. But they had played a lot of playoff basketball under Brad Stevens. Ime is going to have to guide a team who doesn't have a lot of it, and he frankly doesn't have a lot of it as a head coach. Now, he's been on with the Spurs. He's been with that Nets team who had high hopes. Of course, injuries gotten away there. For I think he might have been there just for 1 year. So he's had playoff runs as an assistant and then the one as a head coach. But if he's matching up against whoever the hell the Grizzlies coach is right now, the Finnish guy, with no Taylor Jenkins being there, or if it's Steve Kerr, game after game, when these teams start to have to pick at each other to find advantages because they've seen all the sets, they've seen everything they run. Now you got to figure out how does Jalen Green handle two on the ball consistently. If that's becoming a problem, how do you adjust? All the things that go into making a playoff series work. I am excited to see how Ime does in his second go-round, and this time with a younger team where he doesn't have the advantage of having those two big-time wings with the Boston Celtics. So a lot to look forward to. Speaking of the guys who don't have a lot of experience, but surprisingly enough, not that concerned right now, is one of those guys is Amen Thompson. Amen Thompson spoke after the game about the playoffs, certainly his first go, and what he expects, and does it even matter who they play?
You can't run from anybody. It's playoffs, you know, trying to win a championship. Got to meet the best at the top, so, yeah.
You guys obviously have played the Warriors more recently than you have played Memphis. Do you think that matters, like when you play them?
I think if we play our game, we could be anybody, so just not really even worried about those other teams, just worried about us. And we don't even know who we're going to play till 2 days from now. So,
what is it like to be, you know, you guys have firmly locked in and controlled your own destiny, but to be kind of watching what has been a wild, wild west?
I mean, it's exciting. It's like playoff environments right now before the season ends. But, you know, glad we got out of that, got to relax, got to rest. So, yeah.
Amen Thompson on Space City Home Network. I believe that was Vanessa Richardson asking him questions. They are really a team that They don't know what they don't know. They'll find out, and that's why getting this season in and making the playoffs this year for this young team is very important, because whether they get knocked out in the first round by the Grizz or the Warriors, or they go on a run where we're thinking finals, can this team make the finals? Playoff scars have to build. Think back in history. Who are all the teams who make their first playoff run and go win a title, or even make a finals or a Western Conference finals? Like even the Wolves last year, as good as they were, they had been in a playoff series before. Those guys, particularly Anthony Edwards, who is their main guy. Who will the main guy be for the Rockets this playoff run and going forward? Well, we're about to find out. I don't know who their main guy will be. I don't know who we're going to come out of the series or two series, however long it goes, saying that guy stamped himself as the lead guy. We've been having these discussions about this team for the better part of like 2.5 seasons now. Once we kind of figure that Şengün and Jalen are going to be pretty good, they just need to get older.
I don't think they know.
No chance they know.
I mean, because like we've seen how Ime's played it this entire year. If Şengün's playing like garbage,
he will sit him.
He's going to sit him in the playoff game. Like, it's not going to change. Ime's not going to change from the regular season to the playoffs. If Şengün or Jalen are not playing well, they're going to be on the bench. The only person that's immune from that is Fred VanVleet.
Remarkably, considering like he's had a lot of playing like garbage moments, or at least shooting.
No, we
need to separate. I get stuck in, oh, he's playing terribly, and a coach may look at it differently. Fred has had a number of nights where he shot the ball poorly, but the steadiness, the no turnovers, that is something a coach might value. So I always want to make sure I clean some of that up. He has had enough tour date nights shooting the basketball. If you don't know what that is, it's like April 17th. That means you went 4 for 17. He's had a lot of those. He's had a lot of tour date nights as a Rockets player, but that has not kept him off the floor because Ime values other things. He's the one guy who I would actually expect to take a last shot before all the other guys. I actually expected
it. Which kind of sucks. I won't lie.
I understand what you're saying, and I wouldn't disagree. But of all the guys you can point to, I'm not saying I wouldn't want it to happen, but that's the guy I expect to take the shot because he is willing to take it. He won't pass that up. I mean, you're lucky if you get a pump fake from Fred to send a guy flying, and then he takes a shot. But if we're talking late clock situations, ball in someone's hand, I expect it to be in Fred's, and I expect him to take the shot. And then, of course, there's like a 36% chance or less that he'll make the shot, but it is what it is.
It just depends on the level of difficulty. If it's a wide-open shot, probably going to miss it.
Yeah.
And if he's got two guys in his face and he's fading backwards, it's probably going in.
And you're saying, oh, no, what are you doing?
And then it'll go.
Yeah, Fred, on the year, was a 37.8 shooter from the floor, not from three, from the floor. From three, 34.5.
It's not good, Dell.
Look, their backcourt, I haven't gone through all potential, 20 playoff teams when you consider the play-in teams. They have probably the worst shooting backcourt in these playoffs on its face when I think about it. Because Jalen is a streaky shooter, but even his numbers are going to come out to be about 42 point whatever and 35 or so percent from three. Then you throw in Fred, who I don't know if there's a starting point guard in the playoffs who shoots worse than Fred. It's not exactly the formula I would.
It'd have to be Memphis, honestly, or Dallas. Dallas, Sacramento.
I don't know. Ja's been throwing a lot of grenades, so I'm not sure if he shoots worse than Fred.
Yeah.
And they have Desmond Bane. Now, Ja, he's worse from three than Fred, but from the floor, he's a 45% shooter.
No, and Sacramento has Levine. His numbers are going to be pretty high.
Yeah, Malik Monk, if he is what you would consider their starting, I guess, lead guard. I miss Levine probably gets that tag. Is Monk their point guard now? They don't really have one. Yeah, 44, 32. I'm telling you, man.
It's definitely the lowest.
How good could the Rockets be if they had league average shooting from their point guard? Would they be a 60-win team if Fred was a more efficient player? But we know how they go and win games. Cause turnovers, go rebound, play great D. So if I can get an approximation of that for whatever Fred brings in those categories and then get me a better shooter, a league average shooter, I mean, then we're talking about who really is the best team in the West. As good as OKC has been, what the Rockets provide, but currently, and then you throw in average shooting, I mean, it'd be a little, they're scary enough as it is. They'd be really scary if the shooting took a uptick in the playoffs. And who knows, maybe Fred's a playoff performer. We've seen it in a finals run for the Raptors. If he turns it on again, who knows how far the Rockets will go. Okay, we'll come back with the EMA sound, then we'll get into the Astros. The Astros take 2 out of 3 from the Angels. The Angels came in playing pretty well. But really the big story other than the Tucker trade package was the fan stealing the ball from Trout. Wasn't that the most memorable thing from the weekend? A fan watching Trout track a baseball. And I'm going to watch the video again during the break because the fan has a reason for why he grabbed the ball. He goes, he was trying to protect someone. I'm going to watch this video to determine whether I believe any of that or not. We got plenty to get to. If you want to call in, you can. Number is 713-780-3776. We'll talk about the Rockets and the Astros. We'll get into some college football stuff. So because something major happened over the weekend, it's something that was building on Friday, and then it popped on Saturday. So we'll get to that when we come back.
Yeah, I mean, tonight, that's why we played this game. So we didn't want too long of a break. Played, you know, three quarters anyway. And I was determining how we looked and how we were playing. I was going to either go full game half or three quarters, three stints for those guys. And main thing was, came out, everybody healthy, got a little run in. And, yeah, it's a balance of too much time off versus, you know, trying to get a little action in. But, you know, we have days to rest up again, days to prepare, and then get some live action amongst ourselves. And so we'll do that to, you know, similar to training camp where we can get it in a little bit and not just, you know, be shell-shocked by the playoffs on Saturday or Sunday.
Ime Udoka on his thought process and why he played his guys yesterday. Denver needed it more. It looked like it. And then after about three quarters, yeah, we're done here. Reed, you want to play? Get out there. See what you do. At some point, let's call off the dogs. And when Denver's playing the way they're playing, there's no real reason to make this a four-quarter experience for your starter. So they got some run in, ran around a little bit, played some ball after a lot of time off, and then they'll get into the work needed to get ready for a playoff series, which will be the first for a lot of those guys. And Grizzlies or Warriors will find that out on Tuesday. Okay, so the Astros take 2 out of 3 from the Angels. Credit to Wesneski for pitching well. Paredes hit a couple home runs, and then we got that's I forgot what it's called on Major League Baseball. They have this, they track the home runs and see where would this go out in other ballparks. His home run, not yesterday's home run, but the one was it Friday or Saturday? Either way, that was the one where that would only go out at Daikin. We got one of those because we remember, why would you get Paredes here? Why would you make that trade and include him in it? Because all those home runs that would go out in Minute Maid, what was Minute Maid, now Daikin, as opposed to balls that were caught in other parks. And it turns out the home run that would only go out in Minute Maid, turns out it was the only place it'd be fair in as well. So, Dana Brown, that's a plus for you. That's a hit for you, man.
Yeah, it's a smart move. I mean, he has 75 career home runs. Not one of them is to the opposite field. This is all this guy does is just yank homers, and he's perfect for this ballpark. It's why it makes sense. It's why they wanted him last year at the deadline when they tried to trade for him, and he was going to play first base with Bregman at third. So, like, clearly Dana Brown, like, has his mindset, like, we're going to play, you know, 81 games at home in the regular season, hopefully a bunch of playoff games at home, and he's going to be a huge weapon. Maybe not on the road as much, but at home, I mean, 3 homers in 3 days, it's fantastic.
StatCast is the software or whatever, or the app they use. It's probably on the MLB app. StatCast is what it's called. And yeah, it was the April 11th game, and that home run, only place that it would have went out is at Minute Maid. And I think it's, as I look at the graphic, it's the only place it would have stayed fair. So I'm of the opinion that Major League pitchers and pitching coaches and the people who make these decisions will figure out that, hey, how about we stop allowing this? We adjust, and since he will never hit a home run the opposite way, we will continue to force him to go against everything that he wants to do. But at least on that occasion, it worked out for him. And, of course, the other thing is pitchers can't be perfect. They're going to miss spots. And if they miss a spot, he'll get a chance to, even if he doesn't hit it well, to knock it out of the ballpark. And the numbers are kind of evening up if you look at him compared to Bregman, because that'll be a thing for people as far as some of their advanced stats. So while Bregman was off to a hot start and we were wondering about Paredes, if you were trying to overreact with the recent binge of home runs, some of that stuff is evened out. And of course, because it's small sample size theater, you can take that or leave it. Either way, I am not the baseball guy. We got a baseball guy here. And he does a podcast with Jeremy Branham. Joe, first tell people the name of the podcast once again. Yeah. And also, what are the major talking points do you think so far for this Astros team?
So Inside the Icebox comes out, will come out Thursday morning this week on YouTube, and it'll air as a radio show again from 6 to 7 on Thursday this coming week. I think definitely the last couple games for Cam Smith feels like he's turning the corner a little bit over the last five games. It's going to be a big one. What we saw from Wisniewski, Paredes, like this trade has been, this recently, is definitely getting the Astros back on track a little bit. I think we're going to have a lot of conversation, though, about the back end of the bullpen, because it makes you feel a little uneasy. Like, Josh Hader's been awesome, but Abreu's been shaky. Obviously, Scott's not been great. So I feel like those are, kind of the main talking points, right? And torpedo bats.
Who did I see with one?
Dubon.
He
got a hit yesterday with
a torpedo bat. So as a guy who, I don't know if you would say baseball is your biggest sport, but you are doing a podcast about it, where do you stand? Is it an affront to the game? Is it something that should be banned?
No, I'm
even excluding the home runs that the Yankees hit. Are you good with baseball adapting to something new?
Yeah, I'm good with it, because to me it's, you know, it's like think about, you know, football, like in the NFL, they change all these rules to help the offense, and there's more points and everything, and it's just, it's gotten so hard for corners and safeties and everyone to be able to go head to head offensively on any given Sunday. In baseball, it's just been the opposite. The more nerdy the sport has gotten, it's gotten more home runs for certain guys, because it's either all about launch angles and stuff, but the RPMs and all these, and the TrackMan and all these different things they're using with pitching has just given them such an advantage that you got to find a balance. And so anything that can bring some balance to the game, I'm with it. I also think it's really overblown, to be honest. If it really mattered that much, there'd be more than two Astros using it.
Yeah, it happened with the Yankees in the first weekend pretty much of baseball that it happened, and so people were freaking out about it. The team that it happened for and when it happened changed this conversation. I agree. I don't think it's that big of a deal. As long as you're playing within the rules set, the standard that was agreed to, so what if you're distributing it a different way? I don't care. Just take your hacks, and if you're gonna hit a lot of home runs, I think it's still about pitchers and hitters, and if a pitcher makes a mistake, so be it. I think pitchers have an advantage. Let's see a little pull to the batter side, and we'll see if
just help them out a little bit.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And have we seen this explosion of home runs since with the
not really
the torpedo bat since the first time we were made aware of it?
I mean, you've got some guys that I guess we'll see at the end of the season who are on pace, I would say, to hit more home runs at this point in the season, you know, than their normal career, you know, if they're using these torpedo bats. But I don't think it's an indicator. You know, I think Dansby Swanson, I think, is a good example. You know, he's got four home runs this year. He's using a torpedo bat, but he's still hitting 200. So it's not making him that much better of a baseball player. Mm-hmm. It's giving him maybe some extra pop when he does make contact. It's not going to change Mauricio Dubon. Maybe he has a little more pop, but he's still going to be the same baseball player. It's just not. There's a reason why, if it was that much of an advantage, you would see, and this is why I think it doesn't matter that much, Bryce Harper, Yordan Alvarez, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, the best of the best of the best are not all using the torpedo bats. If they all were using it, and Yordan was hitting a home run in every game, and so was Harper and Ohtani and Judge, I think that's a different conversation. It's helping the lesser hitters out. That's why. So I don't think it's a big deal at all.
Can't wait for Jake Myers to become Brady Anderson.
They just look cool.
that Jake Myers Brady Anderson transformation. Can't wait for it.
Yeah.
If you want more of that, you can listen to Inside the Icebox wherever you listen to podcasts. That's a podcast hosted by Joe, who you're hearing now, and Jeremy Random, who you hear with the Killer Bees. Okay, before we went to break, I said I was going to look at the video, because if you missed it, Mike Trout was heading towards the right field line. He's near the stands. He leaps, tries to make a catch, except there's a fan who yanks the ball away from him. It was ruled a foul ball. Didn't hurt the Angels. They got out of the inning just fine. But there's consternation. People are like, hey, can we not be Yankee fan? Can we not do that? And now, after hearing the fan's excuse, should people apologize? Joe, have you heard what he said? He said, I saw the ball coming towards my son. I was just trying to protect my son. That's the only reason I did it. I didn't know what was happening. I was just being a father, protecting my son. Now I have watched this video. His son is in a Astros jersey, so he's easily recognizable. And if we're talking about from plate to right field wall, the father's closer to the right field wall than the son is. The ball sails over the son's head. There's no chance that ball hits his kid in the face, unless it's because he can't catch and it bounced off his glove and hits the son in the face. If it bounced off the father's glove, hits the son in the face. There's no chance it hits him. It's going to sail over the son's head if he lets it go. I don't know what he was thinking, but I'm not buying it.
It's very clear what he's thinking.
I'm not.
The ball is up in the air. No, he's got his hands up. He's tracking it.
What I'm saying, I don't know what he's thinking when he's saying, I'm trying to protect my son.
He's embarrassed. He's lying.
Yes. It's
Not.
Look,
as a dad, I'll tell you.
I get what he's doing.
No, they're the best excuse in the world.
Your kid.
I don't want to do something. He's got a little bit of fever. Don't want to risk getting other people sick.
Understood.
He's just been in a bad mood all day. Don't want to go. Like, the kids are the number one excuse for everything. And he's using his kid as the fall guy here.
There is no chance that ball his kid.
No, and he wasn't even looking at his kid one time. His eye was on the ball the entire time. Like, he is not worried about his child in any scenario. Like, he is tracking the ball. It's so clear in the video. It's an excuse.
I appreciate it because apparently people were very upset with him. He got ejected from the game. At least he got ejected from his seats. I mean, he was still in the building. He got to talk to Mike Trout and exchange some stuff. So he didn't really have a real problem. He just had to leave his seats because of the hullabaloo that he caused. But
let's just go banana ball rules. Do you know what that is?
Is it about the Savannah Bananas?
The Savannah Bananas.
What is their rule?
The fans count.
It counts as an out, right?
Counts as an out. I saw one the other day. Their game ended on like a screaming line drive.
The fan caught it.
And the fan caught it. Let's just do it.
It's also
make baseball fun again.
It's also the league, or at least the team, who will have the first base umpire do a flip when he calls out.
Yes. They do a lot of things.
He does a lot of things.
But they also sell out, you know, like, I don't know.
Oh, I know.
NFL stadiums.
They're here at what was Minute Maid Park.
Yeah.
Fill that place to
the
rafters.
They just signed a deal with ESPN.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just, you know, if the fan catches it, call it an out.
I will say, Dell,
this is not supposed to be. If the home team interferes with the play, it should be an out.
If they're up the bat and they interfere, it should be an out. What if they are
the team who catches it should get punished. Like the fan, okay. if you're wearing an Angels jersey,
like are you? Well,
that fan should be punished. I mean that team should face
the
punishment.
Of course, the people can. What if it's an Astros fan wearing an Angels jersey just for the whole purpose of doing that?
Hey, you know what? Great decision. That is strategy.
You want to wear a Garrett Anderson jersey from years ago just because? Go ahead. You want to wear a Tim Salmon jersey, a vintage Tim Salmon jersey, just to fool Major League officials? Right there with you. I would say in a home ballpark, if the other team's up at the plate and you interfere with the guy's chance to catch a ball, then you are – either way, if you are up at – if your team is up at the plate and you do it to keep someone from catching it, you're out. But what about the scenario where you're at home? Now, no one would do it if the other team was at the plate. What am I saying? Yes, it's the only scenario that matters or is really realistic. Don't interfere. If he has a chance to catch it, don't interfere. And if you do, it costs your team.
Yeah,
the home team. I can't get behind. No matter what jersey, or what if you're wearing a Mariner jersey and neither team is involved?
But if you're an Angels fan, then you're just like reaching over to catch a ball at the wall, try to hurt the home team. That's tough. That's why I feel like you'd have to do based on like what jersey they're wearing.
And
if they're not wearing a jersey, then it's just
do-over. We've seen the bit where someone will rip off their jersey, like when they have another jersey underneath.
Yeah,
I think your first thought I like. I just don't know how you get the second one and for people to be all with it. Just leave the balls alone.
At some point, they really need people need to stop, because I still feel like there's going to be – if there's ever a big moment again, I wonder like if there will be a correction to stopping it.
Whether it costs more, in a playoff
more netting
game like it did last year.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised, to be honest. Like I appreciate that baseball hasn't done this actually. Like because fans really don't make this mistake. I mean, think about it. This probably will happen maybe like one more time this year at Minute Maid Park. So two times out of 81 games, it won't happen in some ballparks. Hell, it might not happen in Minute Maid again this year, or at Daikin again this year. So it happens one time out of 81 games. Like, is it really a problem? No. But for a while, I thought baseball was going to kind of try to overcorrect itself and try to put up a way to stop this from happening.
Yeah, baseball.
I'm glad they haven't.
Baseball can be slow moving, maybe too slow moving in some ways, and then maybe some people think a little overreactionary in others. I think this one, don't do the thing where because it happens once or twice, we have to change the rules. It's not an epidemic. It happens.
If you're not going to change it after Bartman, yeah, then, like, you're never going
to
change
it. It's fan error. If you want to call it that, we get it. It happens sometimes. They protect their umpires. They've been protecting their umpires for years, despite how bad some of them are when it comes to balls and strikes. And now, of course, there is a real push to change some of that. So if it happens once or twice a year, even once or twice in a ballpark a year, whatever, we keep it moving. And, hell, look, the fan screwed up and got all that stuff from Mike Trout. And you know what? Mike Trout's actually playing baseball, which is cool. We'll see how long that lasts.
Good baseball, too.
Yeah, he's after a slow start, he's been really, really good. We'll see how long he and that Angel team still plays well, because that wasn't supposed to be a thing this year. At least before coming into this cauldron, they were playing pretty good baseball. We'll see. All right, before we go to break, I do want to talk about this. It's truck month at Monument Chevrolet. Now, what does that mean? That means savings are extended through the month of April. That's employee pricing, and that is 2.9% APR on the Chevy Silverado 1500s. That's through April 30th. It's a great deal. You should take advantage of it. Stock is limited, so if you want to take a look at the stock, go to monumentchevrolet.com. And then once you see the truck you want, you can go out to the dealership. It's in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225, and that's not the only thing you can find savings on. Maybe you want the Trail Boss off-road with blackout trim, or the Sporty Z71 off-road, or the Premium Texas Edition. Those are all great vehicles you can check out, but they will sell out fast, so check out what they have to offer. And once you go out to the lot, or the campus, as they call it, because they have a parts department, they have a service department as well, you will run into one of the great salespeople. They get that the car buying process can be a little tricky. Maybe you've never done it before. Maybe you have, and you haven't had a great experience. Well, the place to have a great experience is right out there in Pasadena. They're going to walk you through the process, get you the car you want, no hidden fees, no upcharges, and get you out there in and out as quickly as possible, because they know you want a car, and they also know you don't want to spend your entire day on the lot. So check them out once again at monumentchevrolet.com, and then head on out there off of Beltway 8 and 225. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.